5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, it's time for the Lunch Rush. We'll take a look at the top stories trending nationally. And Commanders do have a quarterback controversy on their hand. Ron Rivera is kind of uncommittal right now. He's not noncommittal. Yeah, we got that. What are they going to do at quarterback? Rivera said he's not sure if Carson Wentz will be activated off injured reserve this week after missing the last four games. I mean, even if he is, does it matter? Don't you go with the hot hand? Taylor Heinicke, I think he's earned it. I mean, I think he's been good enough. They've gone 3-1 with him as the starter. Got the they ended the Philadelphia Eagles undefeated streak. There's no decision here.
No, and Heinicke has been in and out of the starting lineup for Washington for the last couple of years. And every time he comes in, that team gets a boost of energy and, you know, they want to play for him. They want to fight for him. And you got to go with Heinicke.
Yeah.
The team wants him. The fan base probably wants him.
Oh, after a game, especially a game like that.
You cannot put Carson Wentz back out there.
You have to go with the hot hand, the gritty guy that's finding ways. Is he the best quarterback in the history of the world? No, but he's been okay for this team. And they are... They're sitting
at
5-5.
That's enough for Washington.
They're 5-5 right now. Playoffs are realistic. Who would have said 10 games in, the Washington Commanders are in the playoff picture? Nobody. I don't think any... Did you say that, maybe?
No.
No, I didn't.
I don't even think Snyder said that.
I don't even think Snyder said it, man. They were too busy dealing with emails and lawsuits and a bunch of other stuff going on. For the Grizzlies, this was a story yesterday. I didn't hit it, but Desmond Bain... He's diagnosed with a grade 2 sprain of his right big toe. He'll be reevaluated in 2 to 3 weeks, so he's going to be out for a while for a surging Memphis team that really looks like they're going to be maybe one of those teams to watch out for when it comes to who can knock the Nuggets off. That's a team to be paying attention to for many reasons, locally as well. David Roddy, our guy. He is playing for the Grizzlies, and he's getting a lot of meaningful minutes. So we'll see what that looks like with their shooting guard out for a few weeks at least. Aaron Rodgers says it's time to go all grass. He said it. Everyone's saying it. It's time, right? I mean, Rodgers was asked about it. He said, I honestly don't have a lot of confidence when it comes to the league making that decision without some sort of big vote and gripes from certain owners who don't want to spend the money.
Yeah, I was seeing this on Twitter over the weekend. A bunch of different NFL players were tweeting out their thoughts on turf versus grass and injuries and the hashtag safer fields. And some of their arguments are pretty good because turf is not a great playing surface for a game like football. It's easier to maintain. It's a lot cheaper for, you know, outdoor stadiums. It's a little easier for those cold weather environments. But they're comparison was over in Europe, soccer teams, they all play on grass.
Mm-hmm.
And
the pitch.
And there's teams like Arizona and Las Vegas that have real grass fields in a dome because they have that technology. They can just roll the field out. And it's probably more expensive, but Green Bay does it all year long. Chicago does it all year long.
And Denver,
you can take
too.
Care of a grass field. You are the NFL. You have the money to take care of it.
Yeah, I think that when you're starting to hear, you talk about player safety, and here it is again. The NFL is always about player safety. You can't hit a quarterback anymore. But they're all telling you that you can't play on this stuff, that it's causing injuries, which leads me to my next point. It's a Broncos story, but we didn't hit this yesterday. Broncos outside linebacker Aaron Patrick has officially filed a lawsuit in Superior Court of California that alleges negligence when he tore his left ACL in the team's October 17th game against the Chargers in SoFi Stadium. You saw him go down. I remember seeing him go down. He's tripping all over everything. The lawsuit was obtained by KTLA-TV in Los Angeles, names the NFL, the Rams, the Chargers, SoFi Stadium, ESPN. I saw Kroenke Sports Entertainment is named in this as well because of their ownership with the Rams. This is a very interesting one. He suffered the injury during overtime against the Chargers on Monday Night Football. He was pushed. Patrick pushed Chargers punt returner DeAndre Carter out of bounds on a fourth down play and then collided with a sideline worker identified in the lawsuit as Green Hat before he stepped on a mat that covered television cables. He's currently on injured reserve now. He seeks unspecified civil damages. The lawsuit alleges the injury limited his earning power because the structure of his contract with the Broncos reduces his salary when he could not play. He has what's called a split contract. Means $825,000 base salary is reduced to under $500,000 if he suffers an injury that prevents him from playing. The lawsuit requests a jury trial. So let's summarize. Suing the NFL, this isn't really about the field in this case. It's about all the junk or whatever that's on the sidelines. All that stuff that makes these games pop, the audio, the visual, video, all that stuff, is what kind of what he tripped up on.
Yeah, I mean, there's camera crews, there's sound crews, extra just equipment people, maintenance people all down on the sidelines, and they give them space off, you know, 5 yards off the sidelines for them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And in just football, you're going to get knocked out of bounds. You're going to, you know, run 10 yards off the field and not to say not be aware of your surroundings, but be a little bit more aware. I get it. It's you're running in cleats on a turf field. You step on a mat that's covering up cords. And there's a guy at your ankles, like, wrapped up, and you just slip and fall, and it's a freak injury. It's tough because you're not going to get the sidelines completely clean. You have to protect the cables and wires because that's how we get the broadcast. It's how we get the cool little voice, the guys with the microphone bubbles on the sidelines that give audio. There's a lot of stuff that goes on, and it's just part of the game.
That's part of the game, and I know it sucks if you get hurt by that. How do you think this is going to rule? They're not going to rule in his favor, are they?
It's tough because it sounds like a pretty good case when you bring in the contract into it. Say, hey, I have proof that I'm losing money because of my injury. My injury was caused because of this. Fix it or give me money or something.
At least give him the money is due, maybe. I don't know.
His medical bills, I don't know.
That's what's, or that he would have been due had he played. But that's the thing. Like, that's what makes these games pop. All the technology that we see on the field, I mean, that's what makes our viewing experience much better, which makes fans want to watch the games more, want to subscribe to more, you know, Amazon Prime or NFL Ticket or Red Zone, all that stuff is because of the technology that we're seeing on the sidelines. So, I mean, that's, I get it, I guess.
What's the change, if there is any?
There shouldn't be one, right?
Smaller mats, wrap the wires in, you know, cable covers or something?
I don't know. I mean, that's just a kind of a freak thing that happened. Was it clunky? Was it left in a way that's dangerous? I don't, you know, just watching that, I remember watching it thinking, man, he's tripping all over that stuff. But I would imagine that's the way it is for every game. You know, you want to get the best stuff. I'm watching Maction last night and what Toledo and Bowling Green. They don't have, like, the technology to make that game. Like, the people covering that game, even though it was on ESPN2, was awful. The audio was bad. Some of the visuals were bad. The little clip of the scoreboard was just a guy with a camera, with his camera pointed at the scoreboard. You could see it because you could see the snow. Like, that little image that you see is not the scoreboard, but the game clock. And it's actually just the game clock. And it's snow is covering the clock, and you're seeing it snow all over. And I'm like, that's what they're doing? They just have a guy with a camera fixed on that clock, and it's part of the bottom portion of your screen where you see everything.
Well, they're not thinking anyone's watching football on Tuesday night.
Which loser's watching this game? Nobody.
Oh, he must have bet on it.
The audio. No, honestly, it was just like, Maction, dude. I wanted to see more college football. It was good. Whatever. Ohio was fun. But that's the thing, like, the audio was so bad, and that's just in the studio stuff, too. But in order to make the product the best it can possibly be, you need all that stuff. And now we're getting to the point where we're just accustomed to it.
We can just put a fence up, I guess, if that's going to stop you guys from running on the sidelines.
Just run into the fence. You know, I guess if that's what you want, if that's what this comes out to be, you talk about fencing off the, you know, right around the bench. You know, you leave
that
area part
already
open.
Pretty closed off for coaches and players.
Leave that part open, but then fence off the rest, I guess. And if you run into a fence, you run into a fence. I mean, what else are you going to do? That's what's going to happen.
Is it a picket fence or like a chainmail fence?
Put like a chainmail fence up there.
I think a white
there.
Picket fence would be,
oh, it'd be beautiful.
It would be aesthetically pleasing.
It'd be like the defense signs.
Yeah.
You know?
Just grab all the signs.
Just grab all those and just make a little fence. I mean, well, could you put something over the top of that little hodgepodge of cords? They put a cover over it, but
I mean, that's what the mat is for. It's to stop your from maybe damaging
put
the
cones around it so they know not to step on it.
Well, I mean, it's a black mat on a green field. The wires are blue and yellow. And like, if you can't see that, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was just a freak accident.
Yeah, it really was. Some quick CSU notes here. I didn't get to this one last week, but I noticed. Oh, Smitty texting in, and I saw your other tweet, too. I wanted to hit this. Smitty said, one would think owners would be willing to spend a bit more to protect their most valuable assets, the players. Yes, talking about that. But also Melkon Stovall, the receiver that seemed, I don't know, I guess disgruntled or whatever, but he left the program. He received an offer from where he just left from, Nevada. He's going right back. I say he's receiving an offer. I don't know if that means he's going back, but that's kind of weird, isn't it? If you're Nevada, you left me. Now I'm going to bring you back. What's the Nevada head coach's name again?
Wilson.
Is it Wilson?
Ken Wilson? Ken Wilson, I believe.
Is that just Ken Wilson and this staff being kind of petty towards CSU? Like, you left us? Well, he doesn't like it there? Come back and be with us. Like, I wouldn't want a player that just left
that
me.
Or, hey, I told you so.
But I wouldn't. Would you want a guy that left you?
I mean, it's the situation, I'd have to know, like, why did he leave Nevada? Was it because of Norvell?
Was it
because of Nevada?
I would imagine he left CSU to go play with Norvell.
And is it just not the same? It's not what he expected? Playing time, whatever.
He was, you know, I'm just looking at his, he had, in the season, 13 receptions for 106 yards. Now he's going to Nevada. You know, last year he had 56 receptions for 643 yards. I mean, is Nevada much better? Nevada's sitting at 2-8. And of course, we know CSU beat Nevada. They lost to Boise State 41-3 last time out. They lost to San Jose State 35-28, which is kind of where CSU was. They were close in that game. I was just thinking about this, though. Like, would you want somebody that just left your program because he liked Norvell better or whatever, and instead he's... You're going to bring him right back? Nah. I'm not doing that. 18 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. Let's get to the Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Who is to blame the most? Who should shoulder most of the blame here for the Broncos' terrible start? Not even terrible start, just terrible season thus far. George Payton, Nathaniel Hackett, Russell Wilson, or injuries? Could it be just the injuries that's really holding this team back? Or do you got a really major problem with the Broncos? Let's talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. A Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
Behind the cliffs side in.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Man, I did not eat. I usually try to eat an early lunch before this show on, Chell. I'm starving. So doing this read is going to be painful for me, but we love Cable's Pub and Grill. I'm going over there on Friday afternoon. Very much excited about that. But I got to tell you about all their deals, man. Wednesday, $3 pints, $7.99 for personal pizzas up to three toppings, too. So you get a great deal there. And I have had the pizza there. It is awesome. Great deals. It's the go-to now. Love Cable's Pub and Grill. Trust me, Hooligans, you're going to love them, too. Check them out today and enjoy $3 pints and $7.99 personal pizzas up to three toppings. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Should the who shoulders the blame more for the Broncos' terrible season thus far?
His name's Mr. Unlimited.
And that seems to be where the Hooligans are going. Although we did have catching up here. Russell Wilson at 40%, Nathaniel Hackett at 40%, George Payton 13%, injury 6%. A lot of unforgiving Broncos fans out there are saying, I don't want to hear it. The injuries,
it's your physical sport, Brady. They're going to get hurt.
They're going to get hurt. Even though it seems like now it's Russ 43.75%. Go vote at theholeshow.com. And speaking of the injuries, Billy Turner, he'll be placed on injured reserve due to a new knee injury suffered in the second quarter of that game against Tennessee. So he's already missed the first five games of the season with knee issues that stem from an injury last season. So he's placed on IR. Quinn Bailey filled in for Turner against Tennessee. Bailey's likely to return to a reserve or practice squad role at this point because Cam Fleming is listed as day-to-day with a quadriceps injury, but could be back into the lineup on Sunday. How about Tom Compton? He was an offseason signee. He was activated from the physically unable to perform list Tuesday. I mean, my goodness. Injury news aplenty. The Broncos waived wide receiver Tyree Cleveland to make room for defensive lineman Jonathan Harris on their 53-man roster. That'll get it going. They activated Harris from the practice squad Sunday against Tennessee.
Whew. Saw this from Schefter. Nathaniel Hackett says KJ Hamler would be out a couple of weeks.
I mean, the injuries are bad. I don't know if I'm not saying that's the number one culprit. Let me ask you, do you think that the injury situation should factor in to George Payton's ultimate decision or the Walton Petter Group's ultimate decision on George Payton? Should injuries factor in to this decision, one way or the other, if you're going to move on from Hackett or whatever?
In terms of GM, I find it hard to place any blame on him for injuries. I would put more on the coaches. Say, hey, your players are hurt. You have players. Coach them up. I find it hard to say, oh, Peyton's the problem. He's the reason we have all these injuries. I can't see that.
Yeah, it's hard to, like, we always ask, why so many injuries? I don't know.
Unless he's hiring the strength and conditioning staff, but they've been in place for 6-7 years.
Yeah, and I mean,
is that the reason?
Come on, how bad can you be? Is it just a bunch of freak injuries that are happening? Or are they injuries that they could play through, but we're at this point in the season where guys are like, yeah.
Are they injuries that could have been prevented by playing in the preseason?
That whole thing's out the window now, isn't it? Well, we want to avoid injuries. You're the most injured team in the league.
Well,
so that's
mean,
a coaching decision now.
Getting your body ready for physical contact, and that just, you're thinking about it too much.
Yeah, I've heard that absorbing the blows early in preseason does help you absorb the blows better in the regular season. I don't know the science behind that, but you do think that you get stronger by doing something. You know, when you lift weights, you pull them, you stretch your muscle out, you're sore the next day, you do the same exact exercise the next week, you're not as sore. I don't know. Does that science come into play here? Maybe.
Probably not enough to be significant. But
probably not. I'm really torn on this. Like, who's to blame? Well, I mean, George Payton hired all these people. He hired Nathaniel Hackett. He traded for Russell Wilson and then re-signed him to the contract extension. Should we have seen this coming with Nathaniel Hackett, though? I mean, he wasn't calling plays in Green Bay. The last time he was actually calling plays was in Jacksonville, and they moved on from him there.
Yeah, I think with Hackett, we were told so much about, oh, he's an offensive genius. He's going to, you know, we're going to put up points and all this stuff. But we really didn't get a lot about how can you motivate your team? Can you bring a team together when you're losing or when you're down in a game and you're trying to come back? And just haven't seen that. We haven't seen, you know, he gets the offense together and is yelling at them on the sidelines. Hey, get your stuff together. We gotta move down the field and score. You don't see that. You're not seeing it a lot from Russ either. And I think all three of these guys can be blamed for some aspect of it. And who gets the most of it, I guess, is just preference on what you want for this team.
So there's something I wanted to dig up, just the history of Nathaniel Hackett. Okay. He was the offensive coordinator. In four other seasons, he was the offensive coordinator outside of Green Bay. In Buffalo in 2013, they averaged 21.2 points per game. They were 22nd in the league that year. He was with Buffalo again the next year. They averaged 21.4 points per game. They were 18th in the league.
What year was this?
2014.
Okay.
So I don't know who...
That was before Josh Allen.
Yeah, it was before Josh Allen. Jacksonville, 2017, They averaged 26.1 points per game. Who would have been the quarterback in Jacksonville at that point?
That was the Blake Bortles year when they went to the AFC Championship.
And that's where Hackett got most of his clout was that season. That 2000, they averaged 26.1 points.
That was mostly their defense that year.
But they did average 26 points. They were fifth in the league. Now, again, that's not always the end-all be-all. Turnovers can set you up for easier scores. We know that. Jacksonville was getting turnovers and getting them in already field goal position and touchdown position. In 2018, they averaged 17.9 points per season. He was fired 11 games into the season. That Jacksonville season in 2017 was the reason they brought him, that George Payton brought him in. Because you didn't bring him in for being...
It's the only thing you can lean on.
Eric Bieniemy with Kansas City, you know what? I don't know why he doesn't have a job, but one of the reasons he doesn't have a job is because they go, well, yeah, but Andy Reid's calling the offense. I mean, you're good, but that's why he doesn't have a job. For one reason, I've heard other things too, but I'm not getting into that today. But that's one reason. Hackett was bypassed on that reason because of 2017. Because George Payton said, okay, I know you weren't calling the plays with Green Bay, but you were the coordinator. And in 2017, you took Blake Bortles and you did some great things.
Did he start in Green Bay with LaFleur?
Yes. I believe so. And I think he got along really well with Aaron Rodgers.
Well, and there was that whole thing, like, can Rodgers and LaFleur work? Who's going to, you know, is it Aaron's offense? Is it Matt's offense? How much was Hackett involved
in that?
Maybe
Hackett was the peacemaker. Which he seems like a good peacemaker.
It sounds like that's what we got is, oh, he was a coach. He was an OC at this point. He was, you know, best friends with Aaron Rodgers. Is that enough credit to get the job?
No, everybody thought, honestly, that hire was maybe you're going to get Rodgers out of this deal. Maybe that's what that really meant. But I don't think it doesn't seem like that was in the plan.
No, and there was ideas that Rodgers was going to leave, but he was so up in the air with his decision in that.
Like, yeah.
You had to take a shot. And if there's a gamble that we might be able to get Rodgers because we got his coach, okay, you didn't get him, let's go get Russ.
And you got to make sure you have the right coach.
And you think that plan B is going to work out.
And we learned a lot about plan B yesterday, didn't we, Angel?
Yes.
You hire a coach based on the coach. And if that was ever really in the back of their mind, which I don't think it was, because I think they were talking about Russell Wilson back in the Senior Bowl, because George Payton was there talking to somebody in the know that brought it up at the Senior Bowl. I think it was somebody from Good Morning Football. I can't think of his name right off the bat. One of the four. One of the big four for Good Morning Football. And so that's why I don't think that's the case. But if that had any kind of thought process, if any kind of your brain was going, well, we get Hackett, there's a chance we could get Rodgers here. Then that was the wrong move, and you probably should be moved on from that. But the question's going to be for the Walton Petter group is, if it really is George Payton, if he's to blame, then firing these other guys is just going to lead to other bad decisions. And that's what Broncos, we probably should have learned with John Elway. But they didn't have, you know, he answered to nobody in that 6 years. But you can say that a coach has bad tendencies and a quarterback has bad tendencies. Don't you have to say the same thing about a GM? He has bad tendencies.
Yeah, if you have a string of bad draft picks, a string of busted free agents, it goes on your record.
All of the in signing free agents that get hurt that we knew had injury problems. Randy Gregory, great player when he's not hurt, but he's been hurt and he had a history of injury. So those are things that you look at and say, okay, if we fire Hackett, do we really trust that George Payton's judgment is going to get us the next head coach that we need? And based on this judgment, why was Nathaniel Hackett hired? Because of 2017? I mean, is that it? Because that's what I heard. Whenever it happened, I was like, okay. I always kind of take a new hire with a grain of salt. Like, maybe. I don't know. Maybe they know something. Maybe this guy is a star in the making and he's heard some really good things. But if for us common folk to just look at his resume, that's what we see. He had one good year. And that was with Blake Bortles, albeit that was crazy because nobody did anything great with Blake Bortles.
Not even Blake Bortles.
Not even Blake Bortles. So then if you look at that, if you want to go deeper, is it Russ? Because Hackett could do it with Bortles, but only one season out of four. And again, he was with Buffalo the first two. But he only had one out of four seasons that you really went, yeah, that's good. I mean, averaging 21 or 24 points a game is what he did in Buffalo. We'd take that today. We'd be damn near undefeated. Who do you blame the most? Go vote at theholeshow.com. Is it Nathaniel Hackett? Is it George Payton? Is it Russell Wilson? Or do you think that the injuries are really the main issue, the main culprit here? 35 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
The Colorado Buffaloes took down Tennessee the other night, 78-66. Who are these Buffs? Joining us now, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. They're in Myrtle Beach. Mark, what's the weather like there, my friend?
You know, I just landed here about 20 minutes ago, and I know the forecast is for cool weather. We came in, it was relatively overcast, so... Listen, I've been traveling around so much lately. I don't know where I am. I don't know what the weather's like. I'm exhausted. I'll get a good night's sleep tonight for the game tomorrow. But yeah, so we're here in Myrtle Beach. I'm sitting by the baggage claim right now.
Well, we appreciate you taking some time. You got to do something while you're waiting for your bags anyway, Mark. You might as well talk to us, right?
No, I stopped at Shake Shack and got a Oreo shake, so I'm doing something. I guarantee you that.
Well, I know it's a crazy time of year. The crossover season for you is absolutely nuts. You're all over the place doing football, basketball. But, Mark, before we get into that Tennessee game, Tad Boyle strikes again. I mean, some monster additions to this basketball program, including a five-star in Cody Williams for next year's team. My goodness, how does Tad keep doing this?
Boy, it's amazing, isn't it? He would be the highest-rated recruit of the Tad Boyle era. And if I have my history correct, because it was before I got here, there was a bit about 22 years ago, I guess, when David Harrison came in. I think he was ranked as the number 10 player in the country, and Cody Williams is the number 14 player in the country. And then, of course, just yesterday, he signed the four-star kid who's, I'm not sure exactly where they got him. I think like number 60 or 70, somewhere in that range, and Hassan Diop, the young man out of the Denver area. So he's loading up. And somebody shot me this, and I haven't fact-checked it yet, so if I'm not correct or if it's not accurate, don't blame me. But I think... from what it said, I think it's six of the top 10 recruits in the history of Colorado are going to be on this roster next year for Tad Boyle. So think about that for a second.
That's insanity to me. I mean, Tad, we talk a lot about Tad Boyle, and I know he's good, Mark. I do. I know he's fantastic at this, and players love this guy. But I mean, this is big time even for Tad.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, it's year 13 now for him, and what he has done here, despite the fact that, you know, when he got here, this is looked as a job, you know, when he got here 12 years ago, that this is the job that they said that killed coaches' careers. And he got here, and he's built this thing. He's done it the right way. He's built it into a very good program. And while he has found guys in the recent past who became NBA players and are making a mark of it. I mean, Spencer Dinwiddie's playing phenomenal right now in the NBA. I mean, he's been amazing lately. You know, you still got Derek White out there, and Alec Burks is still playing, and on and on down the line. Those are five guys, I think, in the NBA from Colorado right now. He's built a reputation. And so now what we're seeing is the recruiting is now following that. As he's continued to build and make a name for this program and for himself, and players then, the guys in the NBA, rave about Tad and how he helped them develop. I think kids around the country are starting to take a long look at Tad Boyle, and here he's, you know, signing two of the. I think they got three in the top 100, if I'm not mistaken, here in the last week and a half or so. And it's phenomenal, a loaded basketball team moving forward.
Well, and then to make those studs feel good about their decision, the Buffs go out and beat top ranked team in the Tennessee Volunteers the other night. I mean that certainly ain't going to hurt these potential recruits coming in. That's a big win.
No, there's no doubt about it, you know, and I was doing the football game the same time that Tad and the Buffs were playing down in Louisiana against Grambling State, and things didn't go well. I mean, think about that for a second. They were a 15-point favorite in that game and get beaten. As we're finding out, by the way, watching college basketball right now, that's not an unusual outcome, by the way, the other night. College basketball has been insane here the last couple of months, or weeks rather, of the season. And then what do they do? 48 hours later, they're a 16-point dog to number 11 Tennessee in what will be called a neutral site game because it was in Nashville, not Knoxville, but Listen, there were 12,500 people at that game, and I'd say 12,350 of them were wearing orange and were singing Rocky Top. Okay, that wasn't a neutral court game, but then they go out and, you know, as a 16-point dog, go out and win by, what was it, 12 or 13 to take care of Tennessee, and that was not a fluke. I mean, Colorado's defense was unbelievable in that game. The whole of the team that just a few weeks ago, Mark Few said, I think they might be the best team in America. And that's a Final Four basketball team that Rick Barnes has at Tennessee. To do what Colorado did, I think, shows how supremely talented and outstandingly, I think, adept on the defensive end that Colorado can be.
Well, and you're losing in the first half to Tennessee, and then you make adjustments and storm out of the gates. I look, what, they beat them by 48, 30 or something like that in that second half.
Right.
I mean, that to beat them is huge. And then to do that in the second half, I mean, my goodness, I always believe that the Buffs are going to be in that conversation for March Madness every single year as long as Tad Boyle's there. But you see a win like that, you see a second-half performance like that, you start to think even bigger.
Well, there's no doubt. And you know, what they did in that game, they were behind. You're right. They trailed the ball that first half, but it wasn't like they were down by 15 or something. They were down 4, 5, 6 points most of the half, or down by 2 at the intermission as they had a buzzer-beating three-pointer by K.J. Simpson, made it a 2-point game at the intermission. So the defense was as good in the second half as it was in the first half. What they did in the second half, they started hitting a few shots. And when you play defense that way, even when you're not hitting shots, you know, you're going to stay in a ball game, and then you hope to, you know, start creating some points and maybe start having some three-pointers go in. And that's what happened in the second half of that game.
Well, and two guys with monster performances. You know, K.J. Simpson, 23 points. Added 10 boards to that. Tristan Da Silva did his thing with 14 points. All coming off the bench, Mark.
They did in that game because of what Tad did after the game on Friday. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, he started a different lineup because he was sending a message to his guys about their lack of intensity against Grambling. Now, will that be the starting lineup the rest of the season? I highly doubt that. But listen, Tad has said for years, and again, coaches always talk about this, the one thing they have is negotiating tool is playing time. And so what he did, he sent a message early in the season. He and I sat, when I got to, after the game on Friday, I got to, where were we, Nashville, I guess, on Saturday, and he and I sat and talked for a little while, and he told me, he said, I'm going to change the starting lineup. He said, Mark, I've got to make sure these guys understand it. I'm going to send a message very early. So, yeah, those were bench points, technically, on those circumstances. Those guys aren't starters, but in that game, they did come off the bench.
And that's what's insane to me is you know, there's a lot of coaches, and I mean a lot of coaches that want to send a message. They don't want. They just won't take that step. They won't take that risk. Tad Boyle does that, and I tell you what, 78-66 over the Volunteers. Message received.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, they came out and played with the will and the want to. They had purpose in that ball game. They played with intensity. They were active. Their hands were active on the defensive end. You know, we're still learning about this basketball team, and there are a lot of parts to it that I think are all valuable in some respects. I mean, you know, I think it's interesting. I got messages. I still got messages after that signing yesterday of Hassan Diop. You know, guys going, well, that'll mean the end of Lawson Lovering. And I think people are just insane when they say that. Lawson Lovering, yes, he's growing and learning. He's a sophomore now. He's in his second year. Didn't play a full year last year because he had the knee injury. That guy, if you know the game of basketball, you watch Lawson Lovering, you go, holy cow, that dude's got something. If you don't know the game of basketball, you look at him and go, I don't see it. And people, so I'm hearing from people that really don't know the game of basketball. If there was a couple of plays in that game against Tennessee where they had a couple of McDonald's All-Americans on that Tennessee team, who are big bodies and move very well. And there was a couple of times on drives off switches, he would, at 7'1", as big as he is, drops his backside and shuffles and stays. He is not a good defensive player. He's a great defensive player. He continues to evolve and learn on the offensive end. That's going to come with strength and with time. But, you know, there's just one of those guys. I mean, it's easy to go and talk about K.J. Simpson and Tristan Da Silva and I think Javon Hadley, what he's becoming. I think a guy like Lawson Lovering is going to be supremely important for this team as it goes on throughout the season.
Yeah, so you're telling me this team might be pretty darn deep down the road here. I'm looking forward to that.
Yep, without question, they're going to be deep. He can already go a solid 10 deep right now. Now, he'll tighten that up as we work our way through the month of November and December and get into conference play. He's going to tighten that up a little bit. I think probably an 8-9-man rotation is probably what he's going to go to. But right now, what those guys are doing, they're fighting for that. Those last couple of spots in that rotation. And so It creates competition. But, yeah, this is a very deep basketball team that Chad has.
Mark, you get going kind of early tomorrow, right, for this Myrtle Beach Invitational going up against UMass first off for the Buffs, right?
Yeah, it's 11:30 Mountain Time, tip time tomorrow. So we go on the air at 11 o'clock. And so we've got UMass tomorrow, and that's where Frank Martin, folks remember him when he was at K-State and did a heck of a job there. I got them tomorrow. Then on the other side, I think it's Texas A&M and Murray State. That would be the game on Friday. Then I'm going to get the chance to do those two games. Then I've got a flight on Friday to Seattle for football on Saturday. And then we've got a gentleman that's going to help out and do. I tried to get back on Sunday. And Brady, I could have done it as long as there was no hiccup whatsoever. I would have landed about an hour before tip-off, and I could have made it. But I said, no, I can't take that chance because there was a, you know, if there's any hiccup whatsoever, I would have been without them. Scott would have been sitting there not knowing what to do on the broadcast. You know?
but still, my goodness, Myrtle Beach, then to Seattle, you're going all over the place, man. That's dedication, and we're absolutely grateful to have you on these calls, my friend.
Well, I'll tell you what, and that flight on when I leave here on Friday night and I land at midnight in Seattle, that's a trip flying from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, to Seattle, Washington on a Friday night. At some point, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be riding livestock in order to get there. That's the kind of trip it's going to be. So I'm going to be kind of cranky by the time that one's over, I think.
If there's anybody that could ride livestock around the country, I'm going to throw it out there. I'm pretty sure it's Mark Johnson. Just going to say it.
Amongst the play-by-play guys, I think that would be a true statement, yeah.
Mark, my man, appreciate you as always, and we'll catch up with you. Man, this is so exciting for this CU basketball. I don't know if people realize how exciting it is maybe now, but down the road for the future, I mean, this is big time for the Buffs.
Oh, there's no doubt, yeah. And they can really, I think if you follow that Tennessee game, you come down here and maybe win the championship of this little event down here with the eight teams involved. I think that would be a nice postscript to that Tennessee win and really kind of send a message to college basketball overall, but specifically the Pac-12, that, hey, the Buffs are for real here in 2022-23.
I'm here for it. I'm excited. Mark, appreciate you, man. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right, see you, buddy. Bye.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Big-time gets for the Buffs, including Cody Williams, the number 21 overall 2023 men's basketball recruit in the country. Cody freaking Williams coming to the Buffs. Star power headed to Boulder. 12:51 the time. Short break coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. A lot to get to. Future headlines coming up next. We'll be right back.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Future headlines.
So, here's what's going to happen.
Here's your headline. Some companies still know how business is done.
You take the pictures, I'll make up the headlines, okay? All right? Is that okay with you?
All right, Brady, we're back for some future headlines. It's been a minute.
Yeah, but I missed it.
Haven't had much going on this week so far.
Not really locally, and I'm not going to predict Maction. You're not going to try to predict Maction.
Oh, no, you can't predict.
You cannot predict Maction.
But we're back. The Nuggets are back in action tonight off their four-game road trip. Went 3-1 on that one. But they're back tonight hosting the New York Knicks. We'll start here. Mile High City stands up for new unis.
I'm trying to remember which one were those.
It's the city editions.
Kind of are they simple? Are those the simple looking ones?
They're white with the red Denver logo with the red trim.
Yeah,
kind of. It's playing on the Union City Station sign and lights of that. So
I think they're gonna love it.
Yeah, new court design.
Yeah,
it'll look fun.
I think people will be into that.
Okay, so Jokic likely out tonight. Bones Highland still day to day. They're both in health and safety protocols. Aaron Gordon, I saw, was day to day. So with all of that being said, the Brown brothers will carry the load without Jokic.
It's too soon for me to put that much on Christian Brown, but Bruce Brown, maybe so. Isn't this one of those games where you want to see MPJ, though, just go off and start to live up to maybe some of that hype you and I were giving him on Monday?
Well, Brady, you just predicted my next headline.
So I'm going to say no on the Brown brothers. I'm going to say no on the Browns. Two different spellings.
Yes to MPJ topping 30 for the second time this season.
Without Joker, without the feeder, does he produce 30? This is a big test for him. If he can produce 30
big
without Joker.
Him and Jamal.
Yeah, why not? Big night for MPJ. Let's go there. I think MPJ is going to have a fantastic game. Going to have to. They're going to have to carry him. This is an interesting little test, little experiment here for the Nuggets. All right, coming up next, a lot of text to read. I'm behind on text, so we'll get to that. First Advantage text lines 888-530-0043. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.